Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and get comfortable. But not too comfortable! It's the WCHL Podcast with WCHL Commissioner Christopher Perry and Andrew Majorkirk.
Yes, indeed. This is the WCHL Podcast, and we're continuing our series of guest pickers making their selections for the upcoming ACHA Men's Division I National Championships. On this episode, we're going to go back to an old friend from the ITHSW Podcast, Super Duper Podcast Network. It's Scott Strandy. So let's hear what Scott has to say right after the horn. Hey, this is the WCHL Podcast. I am the Commissioner Christopher Perry, and in our continuing series where we're having guest pickers on to tell us who's going to win at Nationals coming up, it's our very special honor to have on here, it's Mr. Scott Strandy. He is the host of not one, not two, but I think 15 separate podcasts on the Ice Time Hockey Southwest Podcast Super Duper Network. Scott, please say hello to the masses.
Oh, hello, Masters. It's great to be with you again. Looking forward to another national tournament.
Yeah, kind of wild. All right, Scott. Now, I alluded to it. I said it. You have like a podcast a day or three podcasts a day, something like that. Tell the people.
Not per day.
Okay.
Five podcasts Sunday through Thursday.
There we go. Sunday through Thursday. So today's a day off, and I appreciate that. So tell the people about your podcast.
We actually cover NCAA hockey on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We devoted Wednesday to the ACHA.
Yeah.
And Thursday we do the Pro Hockey West Report, which is based on the American Hockey League's Pacific Division. So as we speak, I am outside of the Ontario Arena in beautiful, rainy Ontario, California.
Well, you are all over the place. We'll talk about that later, but holy smokes. Now, I got to ask a question. Five podcasts. Yeah. The first three of them, you said, are all NCAA.
Correct.
And then the little puny, peeny, teeny, whiny, ACHA only gets a Wednesday. And then the whole division of the American Hockey League gets another day, the Thursday.
Yep.
What is it about the NCAA that gets them 3 days and the ACHA only gets one day?
I knew that was coming.
Well, I only asked because, I mean, the ACHA has 450 teams, and the NCAA has what, four, five, maybe six teams?
Well, and it's growing because we just talked about that. My co-host and I, Stephen Marsh, talked about the fact that we might have to at least add an hour now because the women's side is growing, and we've got M2 teams that want to join up with us. So, the goal, Chris, was, as you know, I started it covering the WCHL exclusively. Then I found that there were so many teams that wanted to come on board, so we opened it up to the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 in hopes that people would try to achieve top 20 status, if you will. And there's a difference. There really is. You know it. The top 20 teams, I feel, are just in it to win it, let's say, and they'll go at it at all costs. Everybody else is trying to get there, but it's a process.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so you might be doing a women's podcast, and you might also be doing a men's two podcast in the future.
Yeah, correct. That's what we're thinking maybe for next year.
All right, well, the nice thing about this podcast, Scott, is nobody listens to it. So I'm here to give you some free advice, okay? The women's division, they are absolutely knocking futs. So, yes, watch out. Have a therapist on hand, either for your guests or for you, after you deal with the women's division on a weekly basis. The men's two podcast, they're not as mentally twisted as the women's division. They're just let's just say they're inept. Okay, so kind of like you might need to have a kindergarten teacher on hand to make sure that everybody's in, you know, sitting in their rightful place with bright shiny faces, you know, because otherwise it's going to be it's going to be like herding a whole bunch of cats and trying to get them to, you know, line up single file. That just ain't going to happen. So
you just steered me into a deeper M1, didn't you?
Well, I'm just saying, if you want to deal with people that are semi-sane and organized and, that kind of take a little bit seriously, maybe the M1 thing. You do what you want. It's your gig. And you've got, hey, there's 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, so there's plenty of room for more podcasts on the ITHSW podcast, Super Duper Network. But I'm just giving you a fair warning. The women's thing, inside baseball, I had the opportunity to be the commissioner for a women's division. And before I turned it down, I ran like Forrest Gump across America and from one ocean to the other, trying to get away from them. And then I finally turned them down. So it's okay. It's just a totally different ball of wax. So be forewarned. Okay.
I'm ready.
I bet you are. You might say you are, but I don't know, buddy. It's a whole different ball game there. The game on the ice is almost the same, but man, the game off the ice, woo-hoo, watch out.
Okay, I better put my skates on when I do the podcast.
That's correct. Now tell me, where can people find the weekly podcast extravaganza from Ice Time Hockey Southwest? I know you're on Podbean is your preferred, I don't know, what platform of choice.
Yeah, that's our hosting platform. Just basically we went that direction because we could do live and have live interactions. We've since kind of dulled that a little bit, but you can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just search ITHSW podcasts, all one word, and it'll pop up anywhere. So the majority of our listeners are on Apple, as you would assume.
There you go. All right, very nice. And again, that's ITHSW podcasts, all one word.
Correct.
Man, that's a mouthful. All right. Yeah. Who did you? Yeah, why didn't you just do like the Strandy podcasting network?
Because then the Hogans would have been upset with me.
The Hogans. Is that what the H in ITHSW stands for? It's the Hogan. There, ITHSW. It's the Hogan Show we're doing podcasts. I love it. He's everywhere. He's ubiquitous. When I was kind enough to be, you were kind enough to have me on your podcast a couple of weeks ago, and John came up. And John Hogan, the head coach at Maryville, the director of hockey operations at Maryville, the guy who is trying to be politically correct for the ACHA all the time, so we'll give him the trophy before we even play hockey. Then I know the week afterwards, you had him on, and he brought my name up.
Yeah.
What the heck is that all about? What did I do to offend him?
You guys are pretty popular.
He's a pain in the
great
ass.
Great for numbers, by the way, because those are two really good podcast numbers for us.
Yeah, because we're the only two people listening. John listens to him over and over. He just has your podcast on repeat to listen to himself talk. I'm listening to hear, what did that mofo say about me? All right, Scott, listen, the bracket cons, the men's Division I national championships are starting. Are you aware that we're also doing a bracket contest online? So you can submit your picks, and you might even be able to win a prize?
Wow, I saw that. I think I even retweeted it or re-X'd it or reposted it or whatever we call that now.
Retweet. This X baloney, that's just a bunch of hooey. It's still Twitter. It's still retweeting. It's still terrible, but it's we're not going to play this stupid X business. That's so dumb. I mean, come on. We're going to call you V and me X or K or something. I mean, that's stupid. All right, so you retweeted it. Did you participate? Have you submitted your picks there?
I have not yet. That's on my Sunday wish list.
There you go. You still have time. I believe it's till midnight on between Wednesday and Thursday before the games get going. So you still have time to submit your picks, but you should do it. And if people out there are listening, they should consider it. Check it out on the ACHA Men's Division I Twitter. We've also retweeted it on our WCHL and MCH Twitter accounts. Scott has retweeted it on his many ITHSW podcast accounts. How many? You have 15 podcasts. How many Twitter accounts do you have? One for each podcast?
I only got 5 podcasts, and I have 6 Twitter accounts.
Oh, 5 and 6. What's the extra Twitter account for?
That's for me personally.
Okay, I didn't know if you were like...
So people that want to yell at me, like I started a firestorm, as I probably told you, but got about 80,000 impressions dealing with the pairwise rankings on NCAA side of things.
With so. Arizona State, yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me into that. It was not about Arizona State. It was about independent hockey teams. That's it.
Okay.
And it was simply an observation, and I will make the observation for you right now. There's, I believe, 6 teams now that have more than 20 wins in NCAA hockey. 4 of them are comfortably in the NCAA tournament. 2 of them, RIT and Arizona State, are not even close to being in, yeah, and won't be in. And Arizona State could finish the season with the 3rd best record in all 64 teams in NCAA hockey and be the 19th ranked team in the country, according to the Pairwise computer.
Yeah.
So you go figure it out.
Oh, hey. I hear you. I get it.
You know, I thought you played the sport to win the game. That's what one Herm Edwards once told me, that you play to win the game.
Yeah, but you also got to play good teams, right? It's,
we've had this discussion before. You can't, when you're an independent, you can't get all the good teams that you want because, A, if you want enough games, you're going to have to play the rest of the independents.
Yeah.
And B, you can only get who's got available time. And once the NCAA season starts, I don't want to get off on a tangent on this, but once the NCAA season starts, their conferences take hold, and you can't get them. So you can get them before their conference, you can get them maybe after, but usually not even after, because then it's conference tournaments. So that scheduling is just a bunch of BS. It's what it is, and either you're in the league to play or you're not. And this year, a lot like M1 ACHA, the NCAA has never been deeper with more parity. All you have to do is go to the tie column.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and we did talk about this before when I was a guest on your podcast, and the ACHA kind of covers for that a little bit by giving auto bids to those weaker conferences. Yep. Arizona State is in a pickle because they're not in a conference. And so and that's correct. They join NCAA. Arizona State will join a conference next year. But that will definitely help them out tremendously. But for right now, they're playing the role of Westchester and Oswego State, yes, looking for an auto bid into the NCAAs, and it just ain't happening.
Not that is yet. Correct.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, you're playing in the bracket contest, and when you're not podcasting and tweeting and causing firestorms with pairwise complaints, are you ready to make some predictions?
Yeah, fire away.
Let's do it. We have some WCHL on WCHL violence to start everything right from the jump. It's the number 12 Utah Utes taking on the number 21 Missouri State Ice Bears, and we're going to get that game kicked off at the Centene Community Ice Center on Thursday. Who do you think, Utah and Missouri? Well, first I have to ask, Scott, does Utah or Missouri State advertise with the ITHSW Podcasting Super Duper Network?
They do not, but guess what? They're on my contact list when I get to St. Louis.
Well, see, I had to ask that because I didn't know if you're gonna
give them fair warning.
Well, I didn't know if we're gonna have any favoritism going on here, because I know that there are some other advertisers further down the road.
We have nine in the top 24 that are partners.
Right. Ooh, now, so. 9! Oh my gosh! All right, we'll go through all night. All right, so Utah, Missouri State, non-advertisers, so they're being shunned for right now. But who's going to win the game?
It's going to be Utah. They waited too long to get to the national tournament. They've played phenomenal hockey coming down the stretch. Missouri State, also with the coaching change this year, had to make some moves, and they are making moves. Obviously, they got into the tournament. But I think this one belongs to Utah.
All right. All right. Very good. Yeah. How about this? We opened, we made the change to go from 20 to 24 teams, in part because Utah got bumped like two or three of the last few yeah. years. And now they screw everything up by becoming number 12. What the heck?
Yeah.
They would have made the, they would have made the tournament even without the change.
Well, that just tells you what Morgan and AJ are up to. They're they were trying to get better, and they got better.
Yeah, well, they're not helping the commissioner out, that's for damn sure. So, all right. Hey, number 13, Arizona, takes on number 20, Pittsburgh, in the second game of the day. That will be over at the Hogan Palace, the Maryville University Hockey Center. Who do you think? Now, Arizona is an advertiser for ITHSW, a partner, as you call them. Pittsburgh, I'm going to presume, is not.
They are not. I'm working on them, so they're another one on my hit list. So if they're listening, tell them to beware, because I'm roaming both Centene and Maryville. Anyway.
You're coming with invoices is what you're saying.
Yeah. Invoices. And we like to call them opportunities, Chris.
Opportunities. Yeah, see, I'm not the savvy businessman you are. I only have one shitty podcast, right? So
yeah. Anyway, I talked with Chad Berman, and I said, Chad, the way you guys have dealt with injuries over the last 3 years, maybe this is the year that you make a serious run, because you got the home ice, as you mentioned, at Maryville, and they've been there twice now in the last month. So it feels like home, he told me. And I think Pitt is good, but I don't think they're Arizona good. And I think Arizona walks away with it. So there you go. Two in the WCHL column. How about that?
I'm telling you, hey, you are an excellent podcast guest, because you're pandering directly to the host's sensibilities and warmth. So that's awesome. Keep it going. I love it.
Okay.
Well, hopefully we'll have an all WCHL semifinal here at the end of this thing. So
entirely possible.
Yeah, whatever. Third game here, number 11, Purdue Northwest, taking on number 22, Indiana, Pennsylvania. Now, Scott, before we get going, got to ask, Indiana, Pennsylvania, have you ever heard of a more confused school than Indiana, Pennsylvania?
No, I think they do a lot of driving back between a couple of states, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in Ohio's in between. So, I mean, are they in Indiana? Yeah. Are they in Pennsylvania? Or are they somewhere, in between in Ohio?
I do not know, but I can tell you one thing.
Yep.
They got a terrible draw going up against Purdue Northwest.
Yeah, they did.
I saw them play very early in the year at Adrian, and I thought, wow, is this team going to be for real? And Gary Astala said, just wait till the end of the year. They're going to be for real. And they beat his team.
Yeah, at the end of the year, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And Purdue Northwest is a team that's my dark horse this year, Chris. I think they're the ones that are going to probably do the most damage.
Whoa.
So very early on in the picking, watch them closely.
All right, Purdue, look at that. I like this. The Pride will be the dark horse. I'm going to put a star next to that one. Not an advertiser, not a partner either. Or
not
are
yet,
they?
But boy, not am yet. I coming after them. I'm coming after them hard.
Carl Trojan is on notice. All right, the fourth game of the day is going to see number 14, Grand Valley State, taking on the Blue Hens of Delaware. Delaware is back in the tournament after a quite a long hiatus, or an absence, let's say. It wasn't on hiatus. So GVSU versus UD, what do you think?
This one might be the best game of the day on Thursday. And this one, Delaware wanted to come on board. They had some financial issues that they couldn't get worked out with their staff to come on board this year. They want to talk again next year, so who knows? They could be on board. But Grand Valley State, I watched them play Indiana Tech at Indiana Tech, and I was going like, oh, this is September hockey, and it looked like playoff hockey. So, if you want to pick them, it's going to be this one, but I'm going Grand Valley State.
So far, you're going all chalk, but Grand Valley State, you say, and you say this is going to be the game of day one, huh?
I do. Yeah, I think it'll be the most competitive of day one.
Impressive. All right. So the Lakers over the Blue Hens. That gets us to game number five, the third game of the day at the Centene Community Ice Center. It's going to pit the Marauders from the University of Mary against the Golden Rams of Westchester. Mary is a partner. I've heard them. I know Dan Huntley was just on your podcast.
He was.
Yeah. So yep. I figure I know where this one's going.
Well, I feel bad for Westchester. I'll apologize for them right now that they got a very unfavorable matchup. This UMary team is scary, and everybody said, yeah, I know they won the M2, but they stepped up to M1. Don't forget that UMary and their location, they're forced to play Minot. They're forced to play Jamestown. They're forced to play Bottineau and Williston. And I think, Chris, North Dakota should have 5 M1 programs. They're all that good. I know Bottineau will fight me, and I know Coach up there pretty well. And he'll say, yeah, but we're only 2,000 people, and the school's only got 800 or whatever. I'm going like, BS. You got a hockey program that could challenge for an M1 title. So that's my soapbox to bring everybody, Williston and Bottineau, onto M1 ranks down the road. But UMary is just too good. They're just too good. They're too well coached. And I asked Dan, I said, a lot of people are surprised you're number 10. And I said, I was thinking you might even climb higher. I thought you might be 8 by this time. So,
and what did
UMary's the winner.
What did Dan have to say to that? Because I bet you he thought, we're 10 is right where we belong.
Yeah, I think he thought that, but he's confident. And I've had people comment about him, his words on the show going like, ooh, he's challenging some M2 schools. If they want to go to M1, that they better figure it out and do it the right way.
Yeah. Well, there's no truth. He's no lying right there. That's for darn sure. Can I pop your bubble really quick?
Yeah.
Williston and Bottineau, it ain't going to happen for one very simple reason. They're 2-year schools. We don't allow 2-year schools at men's division one. So,
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's sad.
Well, it's okay. You threw me for a loop there when you said 5 NODAC schools should be men's one. I'm thinking, really, North Dakota State should come back, and who's the 5th? And then I clued in. I was like, wait, he's talking Williston and Bottineau. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Mary's pretty good. I'll tell you this. You know, you're name dropping all these fancy places where you've been. I've been to Adrian. I've been to Indiana Tech. I had the pleasure of going to Bismarck and for my B conference tournament, and the University of Mary and Dan Huntley were gracious hosts for both the tournament and my fat self. And it was an absolute wonderful time. Bismarck is not exactly on my spring break destination list, but it was it was a very pleasant surprise. They've got a good thing going there, and the university, surprisingly, and you know, I like to think I'm a good God-fearing Catholic boy, and I'm not, you know, super religious in terms of, you know, in terms of being an extrovert or, you know, putting it on to people, but I appreciated what they do up there. Let's just leave it at that. And they've got a good thing going at the University of Mary. And so, yeah, I'm glad to have them in men's Division One. Glad to have them in the MCH. And I'm glad that you say they're going to beat the ever-loving snot out of the Golden Rams. All right, let's move on. The 6th game of the day, it's going to be number 15, Calvin, taking on Indiana Tech. What do you think, 18-15, Knights Warriors?
Second best game of the day. Talk with Frank DiCristofaro. He's coming on the show this week. And I love his Indiana Tech team. I love what Frank manages to get out of his team year after year. A little surprised that they're 18. I think that's a little farther up than they – I think they should be a little lower is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I love Calvin. I love Calvin. I'm coming after them too, Calvin boys. So be ready.
Yeah.
But Indiana Tech is the one that's had the experience. They've been there. They've done that. And not that Calvin hasn't, but I'm going to Indiana Tech, not just because they're a partner, because I think they're well coached.
Indiana Tech is going to up. That'll be the first upset of the day.
Yep.
According to Scott's training. Now, let me ask you this, Scott. You said they should be lower. Are you saying they should be a higher-ranked seed? They should be higher than 18, or they should be lower than 18?
They should be higher. I thought they should be 14-15 range.
Okay.
There, yeah, but,
that's fair. That's fair. Especially since you have them beating Calvin, which is news to my ears because I love that. Trust me, knowing the Calvin, you know, has that Sunday play issue, so I think we're all rooting against Calvin. So, all right. The last game of the day at the Centene Community Ice Center will be the number 9 Niagara Purple Eagles taking on the Lakers of Oswego State, the number 24 ranked team, the winners of the NECHL. What do you think is going to happen here? These are two teams that used to play one another quite a bit because they were both in that terrible NECHL, and Niagara got out. Oswego State, they're still stuck there. So what do you think?
I think this is going to be a little lopsided. This might be the lopsided game of the day in Niagara taking care of Oswego State.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, let's hope so. I mean, I hope that's just an absolute rout. I mean, it's me just being an evil person, but I hope that those 10 versus 23 and 9 versus 24 are just routes. So thank you for playing. Thank you for getting your auto bid. Here's your participation. You get blasted. Go home.
Yeah. So pretty much it, I'm afraid.
All right. The last game of the day is over at the Maryville University Hockey Center. It's going to see number 16 Illinois State from the B Conference, MCH, taking on probably one of the hottest teams in the ACHA right now, the number 17 Grand Canyon Antelopes, or now they're just the Lopes. They got rid of the Antes. So
just the Lopes.
So Danny Roy and the Fighting Lopes against Chris Pruitt and his Skating Redbirds. What do you think?
Well, I don't think you knew this, but I am a Grand Canyon alum.
Did not know that.
As my second degree in 2018 from Grand Canyon University. So I'm a little biased in that stretch, but I saw Illinois State play at home against UMary. And UMary got their first win at M1 level against them. I thought Illinois State was good. I love their building, love their coaching staff, love what they do. But probably half a dozen coaches, Chris, have told me that you don't want to play Grand Canyon right now because they are scary good. And I think Grand Canyon gets it done. I think that's the second upset of the day if you call a 16-17 matchup an upset. But
there you go. I like
Danny's how moving on to the next day.
I like how you did this. You, in addition to talking about obtaining a second degree from Grand Canyon, claiming it as an alma mater, you subtly dropped the fact that you've, in addition to being an Adrian in Indiana Tech, you've also been to Illinois State. And then you're calling an upset.
Did you know this? You should have followed me in September because I started from Minneapolis. I went down to Maryville, watched them play, went down to Drury, went from Drury to Tennessee State, went from Tennessee State to Liberty, went from Liberty to West Point, went from West Point down and spent our anniversary at Atlantic City. Left Atlantic City, went back to, let me think, where did I go? Through Pittsburgh, and then went over to Adrian, and then went from Adrian down to Illinois State, and then went to Indiana Tech, maybe a day or two off on that one.
Yeah.
So that's how ACHA was my month of September. If we get games to start right after Labor Day, that would be great for me, because then I could see a bunch more.
Wow.
But anyway, I did... if you want to know the count of miles on my car, which is about ready to retire here, God willing, it lasts until mid-April, but about 59,000 miles since last April. So,
holy smoke, Scott. That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah, I haven't even secured my home in California or Colorado yet because I thought I'm on the road too much. I might as well just pay hotels.
Well, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you a little bit later because I know you've been all over. But, you know, is this just an annual tradition that you do? Because I know last year you started in Oklahoma City. I had the pleasure of sitting with you while we watched Maryville and Central Oklahoma take one another on.
Yeah, this is kind of the way it plays out for me and how I can cover as many teams as possible is I do September ACHA because they're the only teams that are really playing. And then October, I kind of kick into gear with weekend NCAA coverage and weekday American Hockey League coverage. And that runs all the way through up until about this time. And then we expand from there and go, obviously, to the national tournaments at ACHA level. This year, the hockey gods were great, and they put the frozen faceoff for NCHC hockey in Minneapolis, or I was there in St. Paul, I should say. And they put the Frozen Four in St. Paul, but they did even better. They put me two regionals, one in Sioux Falls and one in St. Louis. So it couldn't have worked out any better this year for me on that end of it. And then the ACHA tournament being in St. Louis again is perfect as well.
So you're going to drive from California to St. Louis and then basically hang out in the Midwest United States for another month.
Yep. Until the end of the Frozen Four, which I believe is around April 12th.
Oh, my gosh. Like that, sure. You are insane. Yeah. Holy smokes.
But what's great is my grandkids and my daughter and her husband live in just outside of St. Paul, so that's even better. I get to see the grandkids and do that stuff. And, it makes for fun, but, you know.
Wow. Hey, it makes for
a lot. Kudos to the ACHA for giving me St. Louis back. I love it.
we're going back for like 5 years, so get ready.
Yeah,
might have to find a home in St. Louis, Scott. You got one in California, you got one in Colorado, you might have to get one in St. Louis.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Then I have the whole western half of the U.S. covered.
Friday, based on Scott's predictions, Arizona is going to take on the number 4 seed, Jamestown. Oh, remember, this is the WCHL podcast, Scott, so tread lightly.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that that Chad comes through and the Wildcats get the win, but I also got to be realistic, and Jamestown is just too good, so it's going to be Jamestown, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, hey, you know, that's... As a commissioner of both teams, one in each conference, I can kind of see that. I've seen Jamestown live and in person a couple times now. They're very good. They're better than they were last year. So,
yes, they are.
Yeah. All right, the next game of the day on Friday, Scott says it's going to be the number 3 team, Central Oklahoma, taking on the winner from Friday, from Thursday, Grand Valley State. That's 14 versus number 3.
Grand Valley State, I absolutely love your team. I love what you're doing, but it all runs out right here with Central Oklahoma. Goodness. I watched, Chris, probably the best game I've seen in ACHA hockey in 5 years.
Yeah.
When Central Oklahoma went to UNLV, and both coaches told me that their teams played perhaps the best that they'd played. Anthony Vigneri-Greener told me that his team, that was the best game that they played in 8 years, and he said that they were and they lost. They lost to UCO. It came down to the stretch, just a couple of goals, and it was over.
Sam Sykes scored with 52 seconds to go in the third period and then got an empty netter.
Yep, absolutely.
Insane. Wow. Okay, so very good. So Central Oklahoma, you were impressed with them.
Oh, Michael does such a fantastic job there, and he gets it. He knows exactly what he has to do and when he has to do it, and that's why you keep handing him that WCHL trophy every year.
Yeah. I'm sorry to have disappointed your co-host, but yeah.
he didn't even care about that. He just wanted to see you drive to Vegas.
Him and a bunch of other people. The next game on Friday was going to see the number 2 Adrian Bulldogs, Gary Estalos, another partner of the ITHSW network, taking on Indiana Tech. Boy, you're going to be you're torn here because two partners against one another.
Not only two partners, but two very good friends, as you know. Frank and Gary go way back, and it'll be a battle, but this year it belongs to Adrian. I'm sorry, Frank. I think Adrian is just too much. And, again, they know what to do to get to the championship series. Let's put it that way. Yep, championship game. How about that?
They've been there like four of the last 5 years. It's crazy. All right, well, there we go, and I think we all know what's going to happen, or at least we think we know what's going to happen here in the last game of the day on Friday, which sees the number 1, the defending national champion, the Minot State Beavers, taking on Danny Roy and the Skating Lopes.
That is going to be a much closer game than people think.
Really?
It is, only because Danny's team is coming on, and really has nothing to lose going up against Minot State. Minot State coming off of probably their most horrific year in injuries. I think Wyatt will tell you he's never seen anything like it, even when he played. And they had a guy come back that had eligibility left and jumped in like the last month. as a grad student. So they needed all the pieces, but I think they're getting healthier. And let's face it, Chris, this is four games they got to win. They know how to do that.
Yeah, they know how to run that gauntlet. That's for darn sure. They've been there, done that.
And they get a favorable, I mean, they earn the number one seed, which gives them a very favorable time slot. I like the teams that get to play at 8 p.m., at 4:45 p.m., because I think it's more comfortable on their body clocks.
Yeah.
And that's what they're used to.
Yep, I agree. And that's why it pays to be that number one or number two seed or in that bracket.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so you've got it going all chalk on Friday. 1 through 4, we're going to take on the winners that play them from the Thursday games. Let's see if it happens the same on Saturday, when starting with the number 5 UNLV Skating Rebels taking on Utah, WCHL rivals. They've already played 4 times this year. Utah has nicked a few points off these guys. I think they beat them in overtime a couple of times. What do you think is going to happen, Vegas versus Utah?
Well, two things. I think it's an unfavorable matchup for both of those teams. 10:15 a.m. It's a morning start. You got to be ready to go. Utah will obviously have played a game, but I think the one on this one is UNLV is a little bit irritated for not being the number 4 seed.
Yeah.
I think that they are going to come out gangbusters. I think this is one of the best teams they've put together. I think they know now what it takes to get to the championship game and to win the championship game. So while it might be a close game, I think UNLV comes out on top.
Irritated, huh?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he sounded irritated. He sounded irritated on your podcast when he.
Oh, sandpaper under the skin. Irritated.
He seems to think that the ACHA has it out for UNLV or has the thumb on the scale, and it's just math. I mean, come on.
I
tried to explain to him, albeit it was via text, because he was shocked that he was number 5. And I was like, hey, look, you played 2 games against number 60, and the team that leaped you, it wasn't that you fell, it was another team that leaped you. They played number 31 and number 10. It's a situation where, yeah, you can fall in the standings based on your results and what you do, but you can that wasn't the case in this instance. You can get jumped, and I think that's exactly what happened. Jamestown just had a better, a stronger weekend, if you will, in terms of strength of schedule by playing in their conference tournament. So
yeah, so there again, now we're talking scheduling again, and I think in the ACHA, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have a better opportunity to set your schedule the way you want it. And I know that UNLV played Oregon, the team that you're talking about, to give them games, and they had a shift in in coaching and management last year, and when the deal was cut to come and play them. And yeah, that's exactly it. You really have to be careful now about who you schedule and when you schedule them, because you're exactly right. That's what happened. They got jumped. It wasn't their performance, and they could have won by 20, and I don't think it would have helped.
Yeah, they won by 18, and it didn't help. So, I think you're exactly right. Our ranking is, not to get sidetracked here, but our ranking wins, take the Greg Power situation. Wins only get you so far. You're going to plateau if you just go undefeated. You need the strength of schedule to move you up in the to the upper echelon, if you will, of the rankings. Earlier this year, how about this? I had occasion, and maybe I mentioned it to you earlier. I don't know. I had occasion to speak with the Oklahoma folks, because they were saying, "Hey, wait, we have the exact same record as Utah. We're 22 and they're 12. Why is that? We have the exact same record." And I said, "Well, you're in the same conference, so it's not, strength of schedule within the conference isn't the differentiating factor here. So let's look at your non-conference games. Utah went and played Calvin and 2 against Grand Valley State, or maybe it was the other way around, 2 against Calvin, 1 against Grand Valley State, but whatever, they made that trip to Michigan." And they played number 13, and at the time I think it was number 15. You, Oklahoma, on the other hand, played 2 games against Waldorf and 4 games against Alabama. And it was, you know, Waldorf, I think, is in their 40s. Alabama was in the 60s. And to put the cherry on top of all that, you had those games you played against Alabama, they were one-goal victories, you know, when you should have, when the computer thinks you should have pounded the ever-loving snot out of them. So there's the difference between you can have the exact same record in terms of wins and losses, but your strength of schedule is what propels you higher than others. And, So you're going to say, I'm sorry that they're irritated, but, hey, they're still number five. I mean, that's still nothing
hard
to sneeze
at. Hard to be too much sympathetic, I think, other than the fact that they're tired of playing at 10:15.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. But then you've either got to get way up there, and there's only so many spaces at the top of the pyramid, or you got to fall a little bit down into that 8-9 bracket.
Right, and I don't think they want to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. All right, so UNLV is going to take out Utah. The next game of the day is going to see our favorite team, our favorite leader, let's say, John Hogan and his Maryville Saints, taking on the number 11 team, Purdue Northwest.
Okay, I told you Purdue Northwest is my dark horse. This is going to be a real battle.
Yeah.
But I think John's team has figured it out now. They played a brutal schedule. You talk about tough schedules coming down the stretch. They played a lot of them at home. I get it. But they took on the big boys coming down the stretch. And I think they learned something. I think they learned what it takes to win. John told me that when they played Arizona, he was really upset that they did not win that. But they responded by beating Minot State twice in overtime, I think, right? Coming down the stretch. So this will be the best game of what day is that?
Saturday.
Is that Saturday?
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be the best game of Saturday. And it's hard to say that when you got Liberty and Ohio coming up, but this will be the best game of the day, and Maryville's going to win in overtime. How about that?
Whoa, overtime. I like it, overtime. Now, here's what I don't like. It's the second game of the day going overtime, which means it's going to screw up the rest of the schedule for the rest of the day.
Yes, it is. But I said one overtime. I'm not going to go deeper.
Okay, just one overtime. Okay, I can handle that. John, I had occasion to just talk with him a little bit, and he said, yeah, you know, we won our past few games. I said, who'd you beat? You beat Missouri State. And he goes, oh, and that little club, Minot, what's that? Minot State from up north? And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You beat him in regulation and in overtime, yeah. All right.
Should I give you the tagline for Minot State?
Let's hear it.
Be seen, be heard, be you. Minot State, EDU. Well, you're welcome, Wyatt.
You're welcome. You're going to have to send him another invoice just for that one. Not only advertising on your podcast, now you're advertising on mine. Holy crap.
Exactly. Jeez, I love those guys.
Yeah. All right, the next game of the day is going to be very confusing for God, because it's the number 7 Liberty Flames taking on the number 10 Mary Marauders. God's going to have a difficult choice figuring out which of these two religious schools he really prefers. So
yeah, he's
a, yeah.
Can we call this the godly game of the tournament?
the Heaven's Cup, we'll call it.
Man, I absolutely love both these coaches, love both these teams, both these programs. They both get it. They travel. They play the best schedules. This will be the second best game of Saturday. I'm going to – Kirk, I'm sorry, but I'm going to pull an upset. I think Dan Huntley gets it done.
Whoa, look at you.
It'll be close. It'll be a one-goal game, but – okay. Boy, these Marauders are out to let people know that they're ready for M1 hockey.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how they – I think it's going to help them that they're going to get a game under their belt, even though it's against lowly Westchester. But I don't know. Liberty's been there, done that. They've got a veteran team, and they're big. They're big and they're fast. Oh. Mary is fast.
I'm not gonna deny that.
Yeah, Mary's fast, but I don't know if they have the same size. But we'll see. They don't play that grind you into the ice kind of a game that Adrian and Minot and even Jamestown kind of play. They play more of a Central Oklahoma style of a game, which is fast and skilled and, you know, a lot of up and down movement. So it won't be much of a contrast in styles, but it will be a contrast in I guess, the team build, how both teams are built, because we have one team full of gigantic guys who can skate, and a bunch of little jitterbugs who can, you know, just buzz around and, you know, distract you, and next thing you know, the puck's in the back of the net on the backside. That's what Mary likes to do. So,
can I throw something into that real quickly too?
Sure, is
that
absolutely?
I told Kirk this, and I kind of asked him. I said, it seems like you always are in that number 7 spot or very close to it, and you always get the Saturday late, one of the late games. Is that beneficial? Because I think, and he goes, yeah, well, we'll come out and practice and this and that. I'm going, yeah, but goodness gracious, some of these teams are going to be parked there playing competitively on Thursday, and all of a sudden you're playing the second to the last game on Saturday. When it's a one and done, I'm a little nervous about that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, throw out the 7 and the 10 next to their names. I think the Marauders are going to make a move.
All right. I like it. I mean, nothing. I don't like Kirk. I love Kirk. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But, you know, Mary's in my conference, Liberty's not. So, that helps. All right. Hey, the last game of the day on Saturday is going to see, the Ohio Bobcats taking on Niagara, the Purple Eagles. 8-9 matchup. And I think these teams have already played like 4 or 5 times already this season. So, this should be an interesting little matchup. What do you think? Bobcats, Eagles?
Perps. Okay. Sorry, Niagara, but as good as you played and as good as you've done to get where you're at, these Bobcats know how to play. And, I've said this before, 1 through 8, Chris, you could just throw them in a hat, pull names out, and they would be good seeding spots no matter how they came out. So this is Ohio Bobcats' turn to rock.
Okay. So Ohio. So you're saying that on Saturday we're going to have UNLV, Maryville in overtime, Mary with the upset, and Ohio takes the win.
So,
which makes our Sunday quarterfinals, the first day of the game is going to be Jamestown against UNLV, number 4 against number 5. Irritated, number 5 against happy to be there, number 4.
This is going to be coming down to goaltending. Let's just put it that way. I think UNLV is going to get it done on the goaltending side of things. I think they want another crack at getting to the semifinal round, so I'm going UNLV.
UNLV over Jamestown. Interesting. All right. Now, didn't Jamestown come down to UNLV earlier this season and play?
Yes, they did.
And
yeah, I can't remember the outcome, but I think UNLV either swept or they split, one of the two.
Really? Okay. All right.
But they played good competitive games, and I think they know each other pretty well now.
Yeah, well, very good, very good. The next semifinal, or quarterfinal, I should say, is going to see the number 3 UCO Broncos taking on Maryville, the number 6 team in the nation. UCO Maryville, Mike Rivera, John Hogan, 2 partners of the ITHSW podcast, 2 good guys, even though we give Hogan a hard time. What do you think?
I watched him play with you. 2 years ago,
yeah,
in Edmond, and I thought John surprised them night 1. John's not surprising anybody anymore. And as much as I love them to play really good hockey, this is going to be a fantastic hockey game. This will be the game of the day, I think, on Sunday.
Really,
and I think this one's going to end up going UCO's way, but Maryville's going to make it a challenge. It may even go overtime. It may even go. Let me put it this way. UCO wins in double overtime only because they've been there before.
Yeah. Wait, they've been there before on Saturday, or I mean on Sunday, or they've been there before in double overtime games?
Both, but maybe it's more than double overtime games.
I'm telling you what. Man, they have...
That's going to screw your schedule up, so you get prepared for Sunday.
Well, hey, as long as it's not 5 overtimes like it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right, the third game of the day on Sunday, it's going to be number 2, Adrian, against number 10, Mary. Adrian against Mary.
This one is scariest all the way. I mean, now he's in his sweet zone, I like to say. When you get to the quarterfinals and looking at the semifinal, now you realize... You're just 3 wins away from hoisting that trophy, and there's few coaches that can do it better than Gary can. So, Dan, I love you and the Marauders, but I think it ends right here.
All right. And then the final game of the day, the quarterfinals, number one, Minot State against number eight, Ohio.
This one, and again, Ohio, I'm sorry, I'm coming for you. I want you as a partner, but Minot State's been there before. They're big, they're mean, they're tough. They know how to play a game in the quarterfinals of the national tournament. This one, maybe a 2 or 3 goal difference. Minot State wins.
Wow. All right. Well, as you know, we reshuffle, we reseed people after Sunday. And so that means we take the highest seed and they'll play the lowest seed on the first game of the day on Monday. And that will pit number one, Minot State, against number five, UNLV. What do you think is going to happen there? The Beavers against UNLV.
UNLV is still irritated. They're going to come out flying, but boy, the job that Wyatt's done with that team, especially this year, like I said, with all of the injuries and somehow managing to continue to win. And I think as good a season as UNLV's had and good competition they played, I think Minot's played even better competition. They opened the season at Liberty. Then they went home and took care and played Liberty again. And Kirk was telling me, you know, we get done with the first 2 weeks of the season, we're 0-4. And he goes, I had to check myself and say that, okay, we're 0-4 because we played Minot four state times.
Yeah, 0-4 against the number one team in the nation.
Yeah, so look out. I think this is where the cream really is at the top. And until somebody beats them, Minot State's the best in the country, and they get the win.
Well, that just means that your co-host and the rest of the UNLV folks will be even more irritated that you didn't pick them. So
probably.
All right.
Probably.
In the other semifinal, we have number two, Adrian, taking on number three, UCO. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, again, these are two of the guys that led us to gold, right, in Romania.
Yep.
On the same staff and now competing against each other. The mutual respect, Chris, and I'm sure you know it as well, between Gary Astalas and Michael Rivera is second to none. Gary picked Michael because he thought he needed to be on that coaching staff. And this is still a little bit of a student versus mentor type thing. And that's not to disregard anything that Michael's done. But, man, again, Gary Astalas has been there. He knows what it's about. He knows how it is to win close games. Gary Astalas gets it done, I'm afraid.
Well, nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're basically going chalk all the way through the championships with a couple of upsets, and that's going to put a championship game on Tuesday night. The Murdoch Cup will go to either number one, Minot State, or number two, Adrian. Who do you think is going to hoist the Murdoch Cup, knowing that these two teams have played, I think, four out of the last five nationals?
Yeah. It's funny when you look at the parity and you look at how do they both come through this and get there again? But it's longevity, it's experience. And this time, though, the nod goes to Gary Astalas and the Adrian Bulldogs.
Whoa.
I think they win it all.
Well, look at you. Adrian's going to be the national champion at the end when all is said and done.
If you remember, I was there in the COVID year with you at Maryville when they won it. And I was extremely impressed with what they did and how they play, and I still am. I had this conversation with Chris Mayotte and Peter Menino at Colorado College, and I said, what kind of style are you guys? And they go, we're chameleons. We adapt to anybody, any style, anywhere. We don't want to be known as a style. We want to be a style that can play and beat everybody. Gary Astalas is that, right? He can adapt to anybody. He can adapt any style, and he usually is about as well prepared as any coach in hockey. So I think he gets it done, and congratulations, Adrian Bulldogs.
That's, it's not a surprise. It's a surprise that you picked it, knowing your love for Minot State. But it's also it's not a surprise that they're there in playing Minot, because, like I said, one of those two teams has won it for the last 5 years. And last year they had a classic championship game in which Minot scored the only goal of the game, like with 5 minutes to go, I think, in the third period. It was just insane. I could be wrong. It was in the third period. I know that. And it was Minot plays a real – I love how they play hockey down low, not between the circles, but basically, you know, from the crease to the goal line. That's where they put a lot of pressure on the D and on the goaltender, and there was zero space for, you know, a tuna fish sandwich to get through Noah DeCotney's and the net. And somehow or another, I forget who it was that scored for Minot, but he was able to slip a puck through that space. He couldn't get a sandwich through there, but he was able to find a puck through there. And it went over the kid's left shoulder, and it was just and it came from like 3 inches, you know, away from the crease. So it was an acute, high, tight angle shot that made it over. And it was a testament to how Minot plays those tough, small area games in such a tight, you know, there are teams that like to blast you from outside, get it up to the point and just hammer away and, you know, try to pick up garbage. There are teams that like to, you know, get between the circles and just, you know, go side to side and hopefully get a, you know, an Alex Ovechkin open net type thing. Minot just likes to get right on, you know, a foot on top of the crease, a foot to the side of the crease, and they just surround you and they force you in that small area to defend. And the fact that they were able to get it done last year was wild. And Adrian could have easily won the game last year. And I'm impressed you're saying Adrian's going to get it done this year, because they too have a ton of talent on their team. And starting in net there with Noah DeCotney's is just gigantic. He is as tall as his last name is long. How about that?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, they can put his last name lengthwise on the back of his jersey.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. All right, so there we go. The Adrian Bulldogs will be the Murdoch Cup national champions, according to Scott Strandy. Now, Scott, I have to ask, is this because you visited Adrian earlier in the year and not Minot? Is that why you picked Adrian?
No. No, it certainly is not. But like I said, I think last year, and Gary's really good at this. There are a lot of coaches are, but I think he might be, if not the best, one of the best, at taking what he learned last season against an opponent, especially in a championship game like that, and using it to propel his team forward the next season. So this is going to be a matching of wits, but I also think that Minot just not going to be as healthy as they were last year, and I think Adrian will be. So that's kind of why I'm feeling that way now. Of course, obviously that could change this. A lot of games to be played through this tournament.
Yep. Yep.
So we wish everybody the best of health. And like I said, if you want two dark horses that you want to just go throw some money on, go to the Caesar Sports app.
God. Wait a second. Are you telling me that on the Caesar Sports app you can bet on ACHA hockey?
I don't know if you can or not.
God, I hope
not. Just throwing it out there as a joke. But anyway, if you want two teams to be your dark horse, look at Purdue Northwest and look at UMary. If there's going to be any upsets along the way, those are the two teams that could do it, in my estimation. I think they're the most improved most enjoyable to watch, because nobody expects them to do anything, yet they do it.
Very nice. I like that. I like that. Scott, do you have a couple of seconds for a couple of flash rounds of questions?
Let's do it.
Let's do it really quickly. I'm going to place, the number is 5, okay? This is the over-under. 5 is the over-under for the number of times your co-host, Stephen Marsh, squeals with delight when UNLV plays on Saturday. I'm going to set it at 5. That's the over-under. It's you going to take the over or the under?
It's over. It's over.
Poor kid. I'm telling you what. He's irritated with me, but it's all right.
He thinks you're irritated with him.
No, are you kidding me? I love the kid. I think he's hilarious. All schools, and I'm saying this in all seriousness. I live in Norman, Oklahoma. I love the University of Oklahoma. And, you know, I wish the Oklahoma hockey team would do better, sure. But, I mean, I love everything about Oklahoma football, softball, basketball, women's basketball, gymnastics, you name it. I just absolutely Boomer Sooner all the way. Every school needs somebody who loves them as much as Stephen Marsh loves UNLV.
That's absolutely.
You know, he sees the world through UNLV tinted glasses. And You know, that Sphere in Las Vegas was not built for concerts for U2 or for anything else. It was built to promote UNLV and basketball and football. And that's just the way he sees the world, and that's his view, and there's not a damn thing wrong with it. So, all right, so you're taking the over.
Yep, I'm taking the over. I think 7-8 times.
7-8 times. That's just the first period.
Right.
Yeah. All right, now, Scott, you've name-dropped all the places that you've gallivanted around to and that you're getting ready to drive all over. And you've also named a lot of the places where you've lived, homes, multiple places, Arizona, Colorado, California now, currently, and Minnesota. So I'm going to ask you to rank them one through. Have I missed any other states where you've been? Arizona, Colorado, Minnesota, California?
I spent some time in North Dakota.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. I'll put that in as number five. Rank them 5-1. The best place, the worst, from worst to first.
Oh, jeez. Put me on the spot, but this is easy. It really is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm getting older, Chris, but I love California.
Okay.
Not so much today, because you can probably hear the rain pounding down on my car. But goodness gracious, when you wake up every morning, and right now I'm in Carlsbad, and when I get up in the morning and can drive a mile to the beach, it just sets the tone. And even with the worst day ever, it sets the tone at the end of the day to restart tomorrow. And go, I'm like, there's nothing like the ocean to me. And I love Colorado, so it's number one is California, number two is Colorado. It's a draw between. I love the weather of Arizona, but I'm a little soured on the hockey climate. Sorry, guys, I am. So I'm gonna go Minnesota 3.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Arizona 4, and I'll go North Dakota 5.
We knew North Dakota would be 5. What's where in North Dakota?
I lived in Minot for a year. My mother-in-law was ill, and we went up there. We actually moved up there for 2 years to take care of her after she had a stroke.
Okay.
And spent time in far western North Dakota, a little tiny town, which is actually, it's kind of a funny story. My in-laws actually owned property that was basically bordering the Canadian and Montana border.
Oh my gosh.
That far north in North Dakota. It was a very small town called Crosby, and my wife is from there. So we spent a little time there, most of the time in Minot. Also spent some time in Fargo when I was in Minnesota, across the border from Moorhead. So,
look at you, world traveler.
Around.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so. Well, having just come back from North Dakota, I was grateful to have gone. I'm also grateful to be back. all right, Scott, here we go. The last question here in our flash round of question. I want to know from you the number of times that the Music Man at Nationals is going to play Roger Klein and the Peacemakers over the PA system.
Oh, my goodness.
How many times during the whole event?
I would play him 15 times myself, but
I know, but you're not the Music Man. I'm asking you, Andy Storrs, the Andy Anthem, the PA announcer, the Music Man, the anthem singer, Andy Storrs. Do you think he even knows who Roger Klein is?
I don't think he does.
So are you?
I'm going to say zero.
Zero.
I don't think Roger has hit the line yet.
If there was one song from Roger Klein and the Peacemakers that you would want to hear over the PA, what would that one song be?
Oh, Hello New Day, Far and Away.
Hello.
That's my choice.
Okay, here, hold on. I'm going to write this down. Hello.
Yep.
New Day.
Tell Mr. Storrs to look for Hello New Day. Roger's great. I mean, he's an Arizona native, and he was kind enough to join us our very first year, and he gave me a bunch of music to play as intro and outro stuff, and I'm still trying to get him to write us something. But he said, I'm not big time yet. He said, you only got 52,000 downloads. When you hit 100, come see me and I'll write you some. I'm joking, but
very nice.
Love him. Love his music. If you haven't tried his tequila, you must. Canción Tequila. I saw it the other day somewhere in a Buffalo Wild Wings. probably sporting Canción Tequila. So there you go.
All right. Very nice. Well, I will probably, I will put in a, you know, I like to listen to music every now and then, and I do talk to the music man every now and then. So I think I might slip in a Hello New Day and maybe, now he's only going to be at the Centene Community Ice Center. So it's going to have to be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of affair. Maybe I'll have him play. I'm going to ask him if he can play Hello New Day during the Maryville game on Saturday, since I know for sure you'll be there on that one. There we go. That's what I'm going to make a special request to the music man. Just in, we'll see if he comes through for me.
Okay, I can't argue that.
Yeah. All right, Scott. Hey, before we get out of here, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, sitting in the rain outside, to come onto my crappy podcast and to give us your excellent predictions. You have some excellent podcasts. Let's recap them again. Tell everybody about the it just rolls off the tongue. ITHSW. Podcast Super Duper Network. Tell us about it. Tell people where they can find it. Tell people what they can expect Monday through. No, you said it's Sunday through Thursday.
Correct. You can listen live on the Podbean app. If you subscribe to Podbean, you'll get a notification when we're on the air live, and you can hear things as they happen. Originally, my thought was, Chris, that I was going to have interaction like a radio show. But then I soon figured that out, that that's a bad idea.
So you know what? The Chris Perrys of the world calling up and harassing people. I thought about that last week, calling Ender and Hogan and just giving him raspberries the whole time. But
I do kind of like that. And shout out to Peter Menino at Colorado College, because he's always on there as soon as he sees somebody that he wants to harass. He's on asking me to let him come on. So anyway, it's kind of good and bad about that. But anywhere on Podbean is the best way to find out when they're coming out. The downloads can be anywhere from any one of the major podcasts. I think there's like 15 or 16 in different places. But Apple is one that almost everybody goes to. We get the numbers back every night. And when we look at them, it's like, jeepers, that many people are on Apple, huh? I guess so. So, yeah, that's the best way to find us. Sunday night, College Hockey West Live. We break down the games from the weekend on NCAA hockey. Monday night, our newly renamed this year to College Hockey Coast to Coast, which allows us to take in guests from all over the country on the NCAA side. Tuesday night, the College Hockey West Weekly. That's I call it our magazine show. That's where it started. That's where we try to go in-depth with our guests. Wednesday, that's the big one, Chris. That's the big one that's up and growing, and if you're not a part of it, you need to be.
Listen to you.
The American Collegiate Hockey Top 20, which very well soon could be next year anyway, the American Collegiate Hockey Top 24 because of what you did.
Yeah.
What you did to try to bring me four more partners. I love it.
Okay. Blowing smoke up my skirt. Yep, go ahead.
And then Thursday night, is why I'm in California for the most part, because the Pacific Division of the American Hockey League, surprisingly enough, Chris, a lot of college players end up playing in the American Hockey League. I saw one last night. I'll name drop again. Luke Rowe from Air Force somehow got a deferment from Air Force to sign a professional contract and made his debut last night. And I was there, and I don't know who was more shocked, me or him, to see it. Marco Sturm, the coach of the Ontario Reign, said, we're already calling him Air Force One.
That's pretty cool. Air Force One. I like that.
But yeah, so that's kind of why the American Hockey League, believe it or not, at least the Pacific Division, gets no coverage. I mean, if it's not for me at games, it might be one or two other people, maybe. But for the most part, everywhere I show up, I'm the only one that's doing other than their own in-house media. So that's why I do it. So that's Thursday's show. And we do live now Wednesday and Thursday in the mornings, because I'm usually at a game on the weekends and at night on Wednesday and Thursday. So
very nice. Very nice. All right. Yeah. And are you planning on continuing on that crazy schedule while you're at Nationals? Because we play Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yep, we'll go mornings or go around it, or we'll go live from the venue. We'll do whatever.
I might have to break out my little recorder and grab Steve and you know, just get his get his ideas on how UNLV has played on Thursday and Friday before, you know, just to see what he comes up with. Oh, poor guy. Poor guy.
I love it.
Like to give him a hard time. Make sure you bring some of that styling gel so that I can get little updo that he puts on so well.
He'll definitely do that, and he'll, like I said, he's got three pair of glasses, in case you didn't know, the UNLV colored ones, the Vegas Golden Knight colored ones, and now the Henderson Silver Knight colored ones. So I keep telling him, don't lose those glasses, because you lose all perspective of everything.
Does he realize that only one of those three teams is going to be playing in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Are you picking him up? As you drive from California to St. Louis, are you picking him up? Are you going to be road trip buddies? Is that what's going on here?
No. I'll either pick him up at the airport. And we're not even sure he's getting there yet. We're working on it, but he's got some commitments back in Vegas. So he may be holding down the fort in Vegas while I do the yeoman's work. He says it's called getting even for 2 years ago when I made him do it by himself.
Wow. So his probation officer might not let him travel out of state is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
By the way, keep your phone handy, because I'm driving through Oklahoma City again, and you know what happens when I go through there, right?
You and the Highway Patrol like to meet up.
Yeah, just don't follow too closely, I'm told.
All right, yeah, don't follow too closely is right. Yikes. Well, Scott, listen, safe travels on your way from Carlsbad to St. Louis. Safe travels along I-40. I hope clear weather and nothing goofy that will impede your way to the Centene Community Ice Center and to the Hogan Palace. And let's hope Steven's probation officer allows him at least a weekend to break free out of the state and to attend so that we can give Steven a hard time live and in person.
Shout out my beautiful wife and executive producer for doing everything that she does to put the stuff on the air, because it wouldn't happen by just me talking, unfortunately.
Yeah, she's the rock. I dig talking to Terry.
Yep, she will be camped out in the hotel and throwing as much stuff out there as I can give her. So,
Yikes! Hey, that sounds kind of personal. I don't know that we need to get into that. Yikes!
she's flying in from Minneapolis. Been up with the grandkids, so she'll be in St. Louis on Friday. I'll pick her up there, and she'll be doing her thing for. Then she's stuck riding with me again for another month.
Wow. What a woman. What a woman.
Yep.
Listen, Scott, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your Saturday in the rain to be here with us. Look forward to seeing you in St. Louis, and I wish you safe travels. And thanks for being on our crappy WCHL podcast.
Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, Scott.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Yeah, Chance, we're going to be doing that hockey here pretty soon in St. Louis. How about Scott coming through, picking number two, Adrian? You know, I was really surprised with that, because I figured he's been, every time we've had him on in the past, he's always high, super high on number one Minot State. And for him to go against Minot State, wow, that's maybe that rain out in California is getting to Scott. Who knows? But hey, we want to thank Scott Strandy, and we want to thank his network of super duper podcasts, the ITHSW. I still think that means, you know, it's the Hogan Sweetheart webcast, something like that. But we want to thank Scott and his little buddy on Wednesday nights, Stephen Marsh, for shining a light on the ACHA. I want to thank you for listening to this terrible podcast and for putting up with me. We appreciate your support of the WCHL. We appreciate your support of the ACHA. We appreciate your support of this podcast. If you haven't already, please go to the ACHA Men's Division I Twitter account. You'll see a link there for the bracket contest that we're having. The games start Thursday. The bracket contest shuts down midnight before midnight. What's that? Wednesday into Thursday. So, if you want a chance to win a prize, you never know. You might get a little something in the mail from the old commish himself. And who knows what it could be? It could be, you know, a roll of tape. It could be a book. It could be a trophy. It could be a gold medal. You never know. And you'll never know unless you throw your hat in the ring. So make your selections. Make them known. And it doesn't cost anything to play. And it gives it a little bit more Well, you're going to pay, instead of just paying attention to your team at Nationals, you'll pay attention to all the games at Nationals because you now have a skin in the game. You've made some selections, so get after it. All right. Hey, appreciate it. We're going to get out of here. We're probably going to have some more guest pickers between now and Thursday when the games start. In the meantime, take care of yourself, and we'll see you soon.